The group Exposé literally exploded onto the pop charts back in 1987 with their debut album Exposure. In fact, Exposé became the first group to have four top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart from their debut album. Then the ladies went on to have giant success for the remainder of the 80s and the 90s, and they're back together today with a brand new single, the first original one in like 15 years. And joining us right now to talk about that and so much more via Skype is Jeanette from Exposé. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing fantastic. I mean, I Believe in Christmas is out. I love the song, and the proceeds go to a part of the proceeds go to a really cool cause. Before we talk about that, though, tell us about the single.
Well, I actually co-wrote the song with two friends of mine more than 10 years ago. It was a release over in Japan with just me doing it as a solo artist. And Joy and Anne really loved the song, and we all thought it might be a great idea to record the song as Exposé this year, and I'm really happy we did. I love the three of our voices together just bring out the song even more so. Anne and Joy did such a great job. It's so much more emotional and so much more heartfelt with them and their voices included. And we're really excited about it because you're right. It has been forever since we've put out an original song. So here you go.
Well, it's been around for 10 years. How come you didn't release it? I've been dying for new stuff. You're holding out on
It was originally on a compilation project in Japan, actually. And I don't know. I just kind of forgot about it. You know, I really didn't give much attention to it. But when Joy and Anne heard it, they just fell in love with it. So it's really, you know, give credit to them for it being around again.
Was it just like old times getting back in the studio again?
It is. We have been in the studio together since then, but we haven't recorded an original song. We redid Porter No Return. I don't know if you heard that. We have a remix on that. And so we have been back in the studio, but we're always fun in the studio and too silly. We're always cracking up and not getting as much work done as we should.
Well, and then talk about some of the proceeds of that single. I thought it was a really cool what you guys are doing. Tell us about that.
Well, the lyrics to the song, for some reason, reminded us all, or we thought it might kind of touch the hearts of families that have our heroes overseas. And I know there are many of them that are coming home this Christmas. That's wonderful. So we thought because of that, because the lyrics kind of reminded us of that situation, we would give to the charity Wounded Warriors, which means a lot to us. You see it on TV all the time. There's a lot of country artists, I think, that are involved in that. And we thought that would be appropriate for this song, to give back, to give to our soldiers, to our heroes out there and their families.
Speaking of Christmas, I know you've got a family now, so it probably means a lot to you. You know, what does Christmas mean to you now?
Oh, right now means running around a lot. Christmas, the same. My family's always been a big, big Christmas family, and we are always together on Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, mostly about the kids and just seeing their faces wake up. It's our favorite holiday.
Yeah. And so how about the future of Exposé then? Like you said, you guys redid Point of No Return. I have heard that one. That was earlier this year. So new album, tour in the future? What are we thinking here?
Definitely be out there and doing live dates. And definitely a new project. We've been working with songwriters, we've been working with different producers, and just kind of taking songs from here and there. It's not completely, we don't have a complete idea of what every song that's going to be on there yet, but we're getting closer. And we found this amazing studio in New York that we'll probably be recording in, and just kind of putting the puzzle pieces together, because we have really been through a lot this last couple, I think 3 years. It's kind of a crazy subject, and that's like a whole interview altogether, but we basically, for the first time, have the right to record as Exposé and have the right to our own trademark, and we've been in a kind of a battle over that for the last 3 years in court, and just within the last 5 months have come out, and we are victorious, I should say, and that is another reason why we went into the studio and recorded the Christmas song because we really finally have the right to.
So maybe sometime 2012 we might hear a lot more, mid to late maybe?
I certainly hope so.
Good, good. Well, and kind of staying with that same thing you were just mentioning. So let's go back a little bit. So back in 1986, there were some personnel changes, obviously, from the original expose. But even like your most diehard fans don't seem to know exactly what happened. So kind of in your own words, how did you three form and kind of become expose as we know it?
Well, I actually met our producer back then, Louis Martinet. I met him. I was working in, with a band in California. And he was putting a group together that he had an agreement with Arista Records already based on his songwriting and based on his production. He invited me to Miami to meet the other two girls that he had in mind. And so I did. I went out and I met Joya. I met Anne. And we, I guess, liked each other enough to say yes to this contract. And we all signed and jumped immediately into the studio. I think this was summer, and I think our first single was out in November, Come Go With Me. It was released on actually my birthday. And, yeah, and I didn't really expect it to be that huge. I mean, I loved the music, and I thought it was fun. And the studio was new to me, so that whole thing was just so exciting. And all of a sudden, just pow, on the radio, making videos. And just, it was kind of a whirlwind. And Joy Ann and I were just kind of learning about each other and getting to be friends. So there was some really crazy times out on the road, because even though, you know, we originally just liked each other, it was just kind of, we were thrown together and pretty much living together on the bus, in the hotels, on stage. And so there was, you know, and three women, and we're really, really strong-headed women. So there were some fireworks out there. But lots of fun times as well.
Well, and like we mentioned earlier, you know, the album Exposure had the four giant hits. So, and you kind of mentioned it was like, wow, you know, how is this happening? But I mean, what kind of expectations did you have? Did you even have time to really think about expectations going into that?
I really didn't. I was more about just leaving California and flying to Florida and just kind of getting a new experience. Next thing I knew, they were flying me to New York to meet Clive Davis at Arista Records and stay in the Arista suite and have a photo session. And I just thought, this is great. I can't wait to go home and tell all my friends about it. But I never got to go home because the songs hit, the tour. We all of a sudden were on a tour bus opening for Lisa and Cult Jam. I didn't in the least bit have these expectations for the group. I really thought it was going to kind of just be a great little experience and then I was going to be home singing with my band again. But obviously that's not what happened.
So, and then one thing that I think this is correct. Weren't you like the first, you know, group of ladies to kind of alternate lead vocals? Wasn't that kind of unique back then?
I think it was. It was very important to us because, again, I want to say Joanne and myself are very strong women and very strong vocalists. We were all lead vocalists in the bands that we were working with. So it was very important to us as a group to show that it wasn't just one voice with two girls behind just doing the oohs and ahs. It was really important to show that each one of us could carry the lead vocal.
And then, like, you kind of mentioned it, the TV appearances and stuff, but you also, you know, American Bandstand, Solid Gold, Late Show with Joan Rivers. Kind of, what are your, you know, the big tours, like you said, too, but, you know, of that time era when that album first hit, what are your favorite memories when you look back at that now?
Oh, my gosh, you said Joan Rivers. I think that was our first TV appearance, and we were literally in Los Angeles. We did the Joan Rivers show. It was during the day, and that same night we were performing in a nightclub. This was really in the very beginning, and all my family, because I'm from Los Angeles, so all my family came out to the club to see us perform live, and they also had a couple of them had little televisions so they could watch Joan Rivers at the same time, and it was hysterical. I remember being on stage and watching all my family with their TVs and kind of screaming at us live and screaming at the TV because it was just such an exciting time.
We're talking to Jeanette right now from Exposé, and then we kind of talked about it again, you know, expectations and things happening so quickly. This is kind of a deep thought that I have right here, but like, you know, one of my New Year's resolutions this year is going to be to, you know, try to slow life down and kind of enjoy each day. So you look back at those days. I mean, do you think you were actually able to savor it and realize what was going on? You know, do you look back and have real fond memories and, you know, no regret, that kind of stuff?
I do. I'm kind of out of the group. I'm kind of the chilled out personality, you know, and could get worked up really easy and Joy is just all over the place trying to do 100 things at one time. And I just kind of sit back and watch it all and You know, I think I really did enjoy it. If there's one regret I had, and that is that I did not take advantage and go out and see many of the places that we traveled to. I'm really a homebody, and when we would get to, I don't know, I say I remember being in Scotland and in my hotel room and Anne calling and saying, come on, we have to go out, and we're going to go to Edinburgh Castle, and we're going to go do this, and I just never wanted to do those things. I just want to knock myself in the head for not doing them. She literally would break into my room and pull me out and make me do it anyway, but I wish I would have been a little more curious about what was out there in our beautiful world.
The second album was What You Don't Know, and then you had those the first three singles. I gave you, what, I think 7 top 10 singles. You were the first one to have that happen, first girl group. What are some of your favorite singles from that second album?
What You Don't Know, oh my gosh, I don't even, I think that first song, What You Don't Know, is so much fun. We still do that on stage and get a great reaction. I love that song. And other than that, I can't even think of what other songs were on there.
Well, it's been a long time.
I have to look at the record. Isn't that horrible?
No.
I'm trying to think. I know When I Looked at Him, I think, is on that.
Yeah.
When I Looked at Him, I don't know if you have it in front of you. That was always really fun to sing and learn with the band and perform with the band. I really don't know exactly what songs are on there. I'm so sorry.
No, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm just a big Exposé fan. Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned that, though, right? No, just kidding.
I'm bad.
Okay, so then, but then kind of some tough times during the end of that, well, I guess kind of the middle of that tour then. It was Joya that had the vocal problems, right?
Joya did. She, we had a crazy touring schedule. We really did, and just up at that time, Joy had Brianna, her daughter, so she was on the road with us, which was a lot of fun. We were like three little mommies, all with Brianna. We all fight over who gets to spend the day with her. Joy always won, though. And I think it was just really tough on Joya. And as a vocalist, you know, your body, I know this sounds really corny, but your body is your instrument. So if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not, you know, drinking your tea and kind of pampering yourself, it wears on your body, which in fact wears on your voice. And it happened and it showed with Joya. Her vocal cords really took a beating on that tour. And we had to cancel the tour because she had formed nodes, which is kind of, I don't know if you know exactly what they are. It's kind of like a callus on your vocal cord. And it causes like a very breathy, kind of grainy sound in her voice. And swelling, and her doctor suggested that we stop the tour in order for her to have rest. And so we did, but her problem wasn't going to go away quickly. It was going to take a long time to heal, and she decided she wanted to stay home with her daughter and be a mom, which is very understandable, and that's what happened. It was really sad for us because Anne and I were kind of left with, okay, now what are we going to do? But at the same time, we met at that point Kelly Moneymaker. I met her in Los Angeles. What a wonderful talent and an amazing person, still one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And she just fit in so well. We got along so well and had so much fun together. And wow, what a beautiful sound as well.
Yeah. I've got actually one of her solo records too. She's great. And then, so 1992-ish, you had the self-titled album come out with Kelly. But how'd you guys meet her in LA? Did you know her before that, or did you do auditions, or how'd you find her?
We had a couple of auditions. We weren't really thrilled with anyone that we had run into, because not only does the person have to have a voice that fits with ours, but the personality has to fit with ours, because we spend so much time together. I met Kelly through a mutual friend in Los Angeles, and we met at Jerry's Deli, I think. We sat down and had a bowl of soup, and I felt like I was sitting there with one of my best friends. And automatically just loved her. And called Annie so excited and said, I'm pretty sure I found her. I want to fly her to New York. And so Kelly and I flew up to New York and met Anne, and it just worked. It just clicked. And even in the studio, just our voices just, it sounded like we had been performing together for a long time.
You mentioned Clive Davis earlier. So then that third album, the self-titled one, you worked with him on that. How cool was that working with Clive?
That was really cool. That was really cool. I mean, who gets to say they, you know, go walk into Arista Records, and at that point, that's where Clive was, and sit down in his office and listen to songs and, you know, songs that people were sending in hopes of Exposé recording them, and I loved that he kind of took us under his wing on that one. It was so much fun. We got invited to more parties that year, and Clive would always greet us there and take us around and introduce us to everyone, and he really had a lot invested in that third record.
Well, and you kind of read, like, now in retrospect, people are like, you know, they kind of changed sounds for that third record. You know, they, you know, supposedly wanted to be like Wilson Phillips. I'm not saying that's true, but just from reading, like, the different reviews and stuff, was that going into that record? Was a change cognizant in your mind, or, you know, how did that happen?
I think so. I think Clive realized that that in order for this group to continue on, that he had to, I guess, allow us to be taken more seriously as vocalists. And even though I love the first two records, the difference between the vocal arrangements on the first and second record in comparison to the third is just a world of difference. And I'm so glad we had that opportunity. I love singing background vocals. It's like my favorite thing. For Anne to go up and sing In Walk to Love, and Joy and I step back and do background. I love that, and I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity to work with the producers and the vocal arrangers on that record. It was just amazing.
So that was one of my favorite records then when I was growing up. Not to make you sound old.
Thank you.
But no, that's one of the first CDs I bought, actually. And so let's talk about a couple songs on that. First of all, I Wish the Phone Would Ring. How'd you guys come up with that song? Is this one of my faves of all time?
That was just one that was sent in to Clive, actually, that he liked, and we sat in his office and listened to, and we all agreed that we really liked that song. Live on stage, the band always has favoritism towards that song, and we always play it live because it kind of has like this little jazzy groove to it. The musicians love it, and I just love singing it. It's kind of a step away from the rest of our music, yet it still kind of gels in pretty well. I don't know what it is. It's just that little groove to that song is so much fun.
And then we've got to also talk lots about my all-time favorite expose song, I'll Never Get Over You Getting Over Me. Is that kind of the same backstory?
Wow, that is written by Diane Warren. And Diane Warren had written, had sent us two songs at the same time. One was Never Get Over You Getting Over Me, and the other was Your Baby Never Looked Good in Blue, which was done on the second record. Clive gave us the songs and said, you know, which songs you want to do. I always wanted to do Never Get Over You Getting Over Me, and our producer wanted to do Baby Never Looked Good in Blue on the second record. So we did Baby Never Looked Good in Blue, and I felt like we lost the song Never Get Over You Getting Over Me. And I mean, they're both beautiful songs, but I have to say between the two, Never Get Over You is my favorite. And we lost it, and I just thought, wow, I'm never going to be able to sing that. I can't believe it. And then come the third record, we went into Clive's office, and that was one of the songs that he still held for us. And I was so grateful to Diane for allowing us to do that. And just loved being in the studio recording that song with Kelly and with Anne, and the background arrangements are gorgeous. And wow, that really is one of my favorites. And I'm just so happy that they held that for us, because we almost were not able to do that song.
That was you on lead on that one too, wasn't it?
Yes, I sing lead on that.
Yeah. God, Diane is such a genius. How does she do that?
You know, it's so funny. I have to tell my little Diane Warren story, because we were at her house, and she loves having people over her house. She's very fun, but she's kind of, she has a house full of people, and then all of a sudden she disappears, and everyone's like, where's Diane? And I walked around her house looking for her, and she's literally sitting in this room writing a song with everyone in the house. And she says, Jeanette, come sit over here. Tell me what you think of this. And she'll be like, it's almost like her brain cannot stop hearing melodies and hearing beautiful lyrics and hear. It's just like that she's channeling something, and you never know when it's going to happen. She's amazing. I mean, think of all the songs that she's written that just, it's not, with Diane, it's not like you hear a song over and over and over and you decide you like it. With Diane, you hear her song the first time and you know you love it, you know? She has that gift. Yeah, she does. She has that gift.
So on a personal level then, did that song mean quite a bit to you? Because I think it's one of the definitely top five love songs of the 90s, you know, when that came out.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just, like I said, you hear it and it's just, that song just completely touched my heart. And who hasn't felt that way, unfortunately? Everyone has that story of someone in your life that you wish things wouldn't have ended, but they do, and you'll in a way, never really get over it, because a piece of you or a part of you will always feel that little pain when you think of that individual.
Where was the video for that song filmed at, and what do you remember about that day?
That video was recorded at Santa Monica Pier. And I remember it was really, really cold, and I was very upset that they wanted me to be in the water with my new shoes on. It was a one-day shooting. It was really long. We were out on, I think, that last scene of me sitting on the bench in the evening on the pier was probably well into, like, 2 in the morning or something like that. And I had, I ruined my new shoes, and then on top of it, I had these great little sneakers that I had just gotten, and they were waiting for me on the side when I did my, you know, my change, and someone stole my shoes. And I didn't have shoes to go home in. That's what I remember. But it was beautiful. The video turned out beautiful. They did this great, like, slow motion kind of backwards thing. And if you're looking at the video and there's the part where I am walking and there's the waves coming in on me, that whole slow motion thing just looks so beautiful to me. And I'm not saying I look beautiful. I mean, just the beach and the sand and, you know, it's such a cool video. I love watching that one.
Is that your favorite one out of all of them you've done?
I don't know. I love on the second record, Joya did, Tell Me Why.
Yeah.
We did that one in Los Angeles too, when she cut her hair really short, she had that bright red lipstick on. I love that video. I just love watching that. And that was taken in all the background scenes in Los Angeles and the neighborhoods in Los Angeles. And that means a lot to me because that's where I grew up.
Following that third album, then late 1995, you guys kind of decided to go your separate ways, kind of pursue some solo stuff. But how come you guys made that decision?
We made that decision after we did the Greatest Hits record, because Kelly came in for the third record, and then after that, we recorded a couple of new songs for the Greatest Hits record. And that was decided mostly because, not because we wanted to get away from each other, because we're very, very close. The three of us, or the four of us, when you throw in Kelly, to this day. It was more about getting away from the production company that we were signed to. Just very difficult to deal with, and I think it had been that way from the get-go, and it had just kind of reached a limit that nobody was happy, them as well as ourselves. We just couldn't work together anymore. And so the only way we could get out of that contract was to dissolve the group. It was kind of weird the way that contract was written up, but we had to dissolve the group in order to get out of the contract.
So then from 96 to 2003, I know you did quite a bit of other stuff during that time. What were you doing during that time? And so you guys stayed in pretty good, you know, contact during those 7 years too?
We lost contact with Joya for a little while. Annie and I have always pretty much stayed in touch with each other. And Kelly as well. We all got married, we all had children, we all grew up a lot and decided that we missed each other, wanted to give this a go again. And that's kind of what happened. I just made a phone call and said, I kind of miss it. Do you guys want to do this again? Not knowing if there would even be an audience that would want to see us or buy tickets to see us or want to hear these songs again, because we had been away from it for so long. So we did. We decided, why not give it a try, and are very happy and successful at it, actually.
Yeah, well, and then kind of talk about the future of Exposé again, then. You know, you've got the new single out, and if you had it your way, what do you kind of in your mind envision things going the next several years?
Wow. I love the fact that on this Christmas song, we all three sing lead. Normally, it's one of us singing lead and one singing, the other two singing background, and we'll switch leads, you know, on different songs, but this one we all sing lead on, and I would like us to do that more often. I think it's really cool. There's groups like Chicago, one of my favorite groups, that's very famous for doing that with Peter Cetera and Terry Kath. Groups like Boys to Men, they're always switching off lead in the same song, and I think I would really like to see Exposé do that in the future. I would like to work on that. I think our voices blend so well together. And sometimes on this Christmas song, people don't even realize there's three different people singing it. And that's a compliment.
Yeah. Well, and then tell us how we can also stay in touch with you. You know, tell us about your website, Facebook, Twitter, as fans. How can we, you know, follow your progress and everything?
Everything in our on our website, exposeonline.net. And that will lead you to Facebook, to Twitter, to our YouTube channel. You can see all our old videos on there. We always keep up with things that are going on, call-ins, we write blogs, all that stuff. And our dates, of course, are always up there.
Yeah, exposeonline.net. And the single's on there, too. So I saw that. So
yeah, that's right.
Well, again, I appreciate all your time. I appreciate all the music of the past and the current and hopefully, you know, lots in the future here in 2012.
Well, thank you. And please keep my email handy and keep in touch and say hello. And if you ever need us to do anything, because it would be fun to be together with the girls and do something for you as well.
Yeah.
Maybe when we release our first pop song again, non-Christmas. We can do this again with all three of us. That would be fun.
That would be perfect. And then hopefully we can get you where I'm based here in Kansas City for a show here pretty soon, too.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. Yep. We don't have to fly our guitar player very far.
Yeah, there you go. Your guitar player. You said Chapman, Kansas, right?
He's from Chapman, Kansas. He is a Kansas boy.
I need to go there. I've never been there before. I think it's like an hour from here, so.
You should go to his music store. It's really cool.
There you go.
It's called Fansler Family Music. It's right in the little downtown area there. And he does so much with the kids, lessons, and I think he was running the band program there, but I think I stole him away from that in order to finish this Christmas song. So I don't know. I'm like, yeah, I know the kids are important, but you need to come back.
You just kind of snap your fingers. You're like, okay, I need you now.
The band could be on their own for a little while. We need you back in Las Vegas. So, yeah, but he's a great guy and has done some wonderful things for that community.
Yeah, well, next time I'm in Vegas, I'll look you up in between roulette spins, all right?
Yeah, when you're here for your basketball trip.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
Girl, take care.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Yeah, it's an honor talking to you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.